Boom. Good evening. Good to see everybody out on this beautiful night. Jim, I usually get at least a minute or two in. We're going to talk about Philippians 3. The Apostle Paul, as he continues in this letter of affection to the Philippians, he says, I don't mind repeating those things that I had taught you. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. He said, I don't mind repeating the things that you've learned because it's good for you to remember. It's not a point that's new with us, but one I wanted to remind us that doing what we know and being reminded of it is an important thing. Now, we should always strive for a greater understanding and certainly not to be on the milk of the Word all the time, the Scripture would tell us, but it's about implementing and being reminded and reminding ourselves and teaching others about what God's truth is, that is extremely important. It's about doing the right thing and doing it over and over. When I say that, not only doing right, but learning what truth is and continuing to teach it and continuing to follow it. I like to learn new things. I don't know, maybe you're the same way. Most of us are. Some of us maybe we're happy with what we know. We're not sure we understand all of that. But I do. I'm intrigued by learning new things. I don't think that's a bad thing. In fact, I think it's a good thing that we ought to try to grow, and just I think it's enjoyable. But sometimes it's easy to be so enthralled with learning something new that we forget to implement what we know. And it happens to lots of folks who are not as successful in a career, just to kind of change gears, as they might otherwise be, because they figured out what to do and they do it well, and then guess what happens? They get bored. And so instead of replicating that thing that works, that's right, the right idea, and doing it well over and over, they get bored, so they go to do something else and let whatever they're doing fall by the wayside. And that's happy, and it's easy to do. Or it's easy at this point, Paul would warn them to forget the truths you've been taught and to be pulled aside, to lose it. And sometimes we don't think about that, but if we're not reminded, we do tend to forget. And so Paul is reminding them. He said, I don't mind, doesn't bother me to write this to you, and it's good for you. And so he then begins to issue a warning to them, to remember what they've known, and then beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. What is he reminding them? That we are the children of God who by faith follow Jesus, who worship God in spirit, who rejoice in Christ. That it's not the application of the law, but it's about following God. And it's about worshiping God in spirit. Because what has come into Philippi? The Judaizing teachers. Go ahead. Somebody want to come in? The Judaizing teachers who were saying it's Christ plus the law and calling them back into the ritual of the old law. And Paul says, that's not what we taught you. And don't be brought back into that, because we can't put our confidence in the flesh. And then Paul then will make an argument here that's interesting. He's not arguing for putting confidence in the flesh. Paul is making the arguments that I don't put confidence in the flesh. Now, what does he mean by that? He doesn't put confidence in his heritage. He doesn't put confidence in the things he's done. He puts confidence in following Jesus and being faithful to Him. That's what Paul is telling them. And Paul says, I'm not telling you this because I am an outsider. Okay? Sometimes we talk badly about something, or we talk badly about a group because we're not in the group and we can't get in the group. Right? So what do we do? I don't want to be in that old group no way. Right? Isn't that what we do? And so Paul is telling them, I am not saying not to have confidence in the flesh because I'm not in the group, because my heritage is not good and my background is not good, so I had to teach you something else so I could start my own group. Paul says, because if it came to putting faith in the flesh, I'm about as good a pedigree as anybody. All right? I'm the right kind. He said, if anyone might put confidence in the flesh, Paul said, I might. If anyone else thinks he has confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the house of Israel. So what's Paul saying? I was born an Israelite, and not only was I born with a Jewish heritage, but my parents observed Jewish law and custom. Okay? So from my birth, so at day eight, I was circumcised according to the law, sure presented at the temple of the stock of Benjamin, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He's proud to be a Benjamite. Who is maybe the most prominent Benjamite of the Scripture? That's arguable. Saul, the first king of Israel, was of the tribe of Benjamin. And it was the tribe of Benjamin along with the tribe of Judah that came back after the exile. So, being from the tribe of Benjamin carries some prestige. He's from a good family. He's from a tribe that he is proud of. And for the Jews of the first century, I'll be honest with you, I don't know the answer to this, how important this was, but you remember it was Rachel who was Jacob's favorite wife. And it is Joseph and Benjamin who are her sons. Benjamin is a full brother to Joseph. The other 10 are half brothers. Okay? So he's from a tribe that was a full brother to Joseph. He says, when it came to being a Hebrew, he said, I was the Hebrew of Hebrews. When it came to keeping the law and knowing the law and being orthodox in the law, a Pharisee. It tells you what group he came from. He was zealous for the law. And not only was he zealous for the law, when it came to putting it into practice, Paul would tell you, I'm not a bystander. I didn't just grow up right and live right and have the right family and go to the right place. When it came to zeal, when it came to put it into practice, he said, I persecuted the church concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So, what's Paul's argument here? Not that that was a good thing. He's going to tell us in just a second, but he's saying, it could be my thing. At one time it was, and it could be again. I will put my pedigree and my credentials against anybody's. But Paul will tell us that's not important. But what things were gained to me, these were important. In the world Paul grew up in, or Saul grew up in, these were important things that opened doors for you, that gave you opportunities and privileges. But he said, I have counted these things that were of gain to me, I have counted as loss. Why? This is important. He just didn't get mad at his countrymen. He didn't get mad at his brethren. He wasn't embarrassed by them. They didn't throw him out. He didn't just wake up one day and say, these are all just a bunch of crazies. And that's important. Because we see that all the time, don't we? Somebody will get interviewed about something. And what's the first thing I want to think about? Do they have an agenda, right? Do you think that? Are they bad-mouthing somebody for some reason? Because they made them mad or they didn't include them or whatever. Paul, he says, none of that. I count those things as lost. Why? For Christ. Paul says, I found the truth. I found the better. I found the best. Yet indeed, I also counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul said, I could have had it. I did have it. I was prestigious. And to tell you how committed that I am to you, that this is not important, where is he now? Not today, but when he writes Philippians. He's in prison, right? And they've been sending people to take care of him and gifts to him. What would have happened if Paul had not followed Jesus? Speculate with me. He would have continued to curse and would have probably been successful in the community where he was. In his culture, in his community, he would have continued to be a person of influence and affluence. But he said, I'm telling you, I could have had it, but I gave it up for the sake of Christ to the point that, you know, I have suffered the loss of all things. I'm now in prison. I'm so committed to what I'm telling you that I have given up everything and I'm in prison for what I believe. That gives Paul a lot of credibility, doesn't it? He says, I'm not telling you just to do what I say. I'm telling you I put it into practice and I have committed myself fully to the cause of Christ. Now why? That's where his treasure is. And he's going to say that. He says, I have suffered the loss of all things, but I count them as rubbish, garbage, trash. Those things that are so important to so many and were so important to me at one time. He said, they're just of no value now. They're like trash. Why? That I might gain Christ. The treasure. The treasure. Not only that I might gain Him, that I might be found in Him, not having my own righteousness from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. It's not a period, but I want to stop there. Paul wants to be made right with God, doesn't he? And that's really the argument, because whether one were Christian or Hebrew, what was their desire? To be right with God. To be right with God. Now, when I say that, were there some folks who that wasn't their interest? They were into it for some other reason. But we all know that's true. But not everyone. Lots of folks, whether they be Hebrew, whether they be following Judaism or Christianity, they wanted to be right with God. And Paul says, what I was doing is not what made me right with God. Being zealous for the law, my heritage being a child of Abraham, did not make me right with God. I am made right with God through Jesus, a righteousness that comes from faith in Christ. And Paul would say, a faith that leads him to obedience. Paul is not saying that one lives any way he wants to. In fact, Paul obviously argues against that. But Paul is made right. Let's finish the thought. Which comes from God. He's made right by God, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Where does right relationship with God come from? Faith in Christ, from our heart, from faith in Christ. Okay? Well, Paul's saying, that's where a right relationship comes from. And he says, I want to be like Christ in His resurrection. But if I want to be like Christ in His resurrection, what do I have to be? Joined with Him in His suffering and in His death. That's really the part we'd rather not talk about tonight or any other time, isn't it? Now, I think Paul is talking about he was physically willing to die. But I think Paul is also alluding that the Christian, as we are born again, we die to what? To self and to sin. If we're going to be raised to walk in the newness of life, what do we have to do? Die to self and sin. We can't say, I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to hold on to that. Because what we might hold on to might be different than those who were holding on to the flesh, but we might hold on to those things that we allow to become more important than our faith in God and our serving Him. And Jesus is saying, if I want to be joined with Christ's resurrection, then I too have to empty myself to become a servant like Jesus did. And to die to self and to sin and to be as Jesus was, willing to submit to God, and just as God raised Christ from the dead, we too will be joined in a resurrection. We'll be raised to walk in the newness of life as Christians, and we look forward to the return of Jesus when we are resurrected. So that's what Paul is teaching them. He says, I want you to understand that the resurrection of the dead is coming, but it doesn't come from circumcision and obedience to the old law, but it comes from faith in Jesus. It comes from faith in Jesus. And in that, then, is the hope of the resurrection, of life eternal. And so Paul says, I don't mind reminding you, I don't want you to be drawn away by those who are teaching something different. Something different. That we can earn in our flesh righteousness. And Paul's saying, we earn it from our faith in Christ, being cleansed by the blood of Jesus and dying to ourselves and putting ourselves second, third, fourth, putting ourselves last and putting God first and following Him. Because Paul was about obedience to God, wasn't he? Wherever God called him. But it was about faith in Jesus. His cleansing came from Jesus, that Jesus came and died, was raised from the dead, and we too can be cleansed, can die, as Paul will write to the Romans, and be raised to walk in a newness of life. If you need to come, would you do that while we stand and sing?